Okay, guys. So thanks for joining me tonight. Tonight is the inaugural episode of a new Flophouse thing that I am calling Missed That Movie. That's right. We are going to be talking about a movie that we have missed for whatever reason for the podcast.
Okay.
And in this case, I've taken it upon myself to watch that movie, and I will now describe this movie. You can ask for further information if it will help you make the final decision at the end of this episode, where you have to decide either A, you're glad we missed this movie, B, maybe we should have watched this movie for the podcast, or C, fuck that, I'm going to watch that movie tonight.
Okay, wow. I think, so let's call it glad to miss that movie, sad to miss that movie, or had to unmiss that movie.
Okay. I done missed that. Yep.
Just to get a little bit of rhyming in there.
That's guys, the kind of punch up I was looking for.
This premise arrives fully formed, I think. I am
like that, right out of Stu's head. It's leaped from Stu's head, fully formed, just like his cat.
Now, as I was explaining before we started recording, I'm going to start explaining this bit, and if you guys interrupt me, I will be furious.
Oh, that's kind of not the opposite of, I mean, that is the opposite of what you said. You said we can interrupt a lot, but Stu, first, before you get into the movie, I want to thank you for your service in watching this film in your off time, your non-flop time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just a civilian watching this movie, guys.
Yeah.
If there was a crime being committed, I couldn't be like, stop, I'm an official podcaster.
No, this is the articles that say, like, an off-duty podcaster watched a bad movie the other day.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, just doing my citizen's job, ma'am and fellows. Okay, so the movie in question is a movie called Rusty, a Dog's Tale from 1998. I'm guessing we missed it because it came out in 1998.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if we had been doing the podcast 21 years ago, or 22 years ago, I guess, perhaps we would have. Now, what kind of punctuation is used in this title?
There's only one colon, and it's at the end of Rusty, just like Rusty the dog.
Rusty colon, a dog's colon tail. That's not it?
Yeah. No, usually there is a colon near the tail, though.
Now, Stu, you've already fallen into my first trap. I believe there's probably an apostrophe in dogs, right? Mm-hmm. And that counts as punctuation.
Okay, it does count. True. Yep. Oh, you got me. I guess kids
go
away.
So that's one point
I
on the board for me. Ding. Okay. Yep. We'll tally those up at the end of the
Still
game.
Still unclear about the point system, but I'll continue to play.
Now, I actually watched this movie twice. The first time I watched recently.
God damn it.
The first time I watched it recently on a Twitch stream with my with friend of the podcast, Alex Smith, for his Twitch show, Big Howl and Possum. But let's just get right into this movie. Now, normally you would look at a movie with just a single written IMDb review that is 10 out of 10, featured plenty of animals and family too. 10 out of 10, you're like, that's probably a good movie. And yes, right off the bat, I'm going to have to explain.
I mean, that would count as 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, right?
That's 100%. That's
one
that's,
review for 10 out of 10, that's 100%.
I mean, Dan, you're the expert, but that's certified fresh, right?
Certified fresh?
It's certified green tomatoes.
I was thinking about fried green tomatoes.
Yeah, you took a Serta Serta mattress, you fried it up, and you served it fresh.
Yeah. See, in the apocalypse, when we have to fry our rat burgers on top of the burning Serta mattresses that we've stolen out of the husks of buildings. So I have to explain that. First thing you have to understand is that this is a talking animal movie. Mm-hmm. All the animals in this movie have their mouths digitally manipulated, or possibly they could be very talented dog actors.
Okay, so what's the quality of this? Is this like, you know, your high quality babe manipulations?
No.
Or is this a talking cat sort of like the mouth opens and you're into a black void kind of look?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say it's probably in the middle there.
Okay.
Because it doesn't look like somebody just like cut a triangle out of the film to simulate a mouth.
Does it look like the animals are trying to get peanut butter off of their teeth? or does it look like that? Are they making the shapes of syllable sounds with their mouths?
They are shaping some syllables with their mouths. It depends on the animal, of course. Like the raccoon, it looks like his tongue's going all over the place. It's very dirty. Now, the other thing you have to understand is that this movie has an all-star cast. That's right. Hal Holbrook, Rue McClanahan, Lorraine Newman, Charles Fleischer. That is Roger fucking Rabbit.
And the Crypt Keeper.
Rodney Dangerfield, Dogney Rogerfield himself, Bobcat Goldthwait, also an animal.
That's not even the dog version of his name, Stuart. Hold on. There's already a perfectly good dog version of Rodney Dangerfield's name, Rover Dangerfield, which was the subject of its own film.
It's not Dogney Roger Dog?
It's not Dogney Roger Dog?
You think they didn't say Rover Dogneyfeld because it sounded too much like Karl Lagerfeld? Guys,
my guess is
why?
That they're that's probably why. I assume that's probably why, and they didn't want to get the wrong audience. I mean, the only other thing I can imagine is that Rodney Dangerfield had such a low name recognition among children already that they didn't want to make it even harder for people to understand who this was supposed to be.
Complicate the pun.
And at this point, you're probably like, that's all the stars this movie could possibly have. Mm-hmm. And you're totally wrong at this point, because Patrick Duffy's in it, Suzanne Summers, Dougie Doug.
It's a step-by-step reunion.
Yep, and they play a married couple. Now, granted, they are a married couple of dogs, but still. And in a strange twist, Bobcat Goldthwait does not play a bobcat. Nope, he does the voice for Jet the Turtle.
Now, you mentioned Dougie Doug. Does Dougie Doug do the voice of a dog?
No, he does Turbo the Turtle.
Who does?
Dougie Doug.
Oh, so him and Bobcat are both turtles.
Yeah, they're a pair of turtles. They're kind of like the Greek chorus of the movie. And in a credited performance, Vincent Schiavelli is in this movie as well.
Mr. Ghost move things himself.
Exactly, Dan. So
one and
I like
the same.
Enthusiasm.
Not the like, other Vincent Schiavelli.
You're like, at this point, you're like, okay, so the players are all assembled. Give me a setting, Stuart.
Okay.
So this movie takes place in and around a ranch owned by the Callahans, an elderly couple, of course, Hal Holbrook and Rue McClanahan, and maintained by them and their grandchildren, a pair of orphans, Jory and Tess, in California, Florida, Arizona, one of those things.
Could be one of those Florida ranches, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the movie takes place over a couple of
New
days.
York City,
it begins on,
could be in Alaska. Could be.
I mean, based on the mountains in the background, it's probably not New York City.
No, maybe Washington, D.C. New York does have mountains in the background. Example A, Rumble in the Bronx.
Yep, you keep bringing that up. I don't know why I agreed to it the first time, and now you always have that in your back pocket. So the movie takes place over a couple of days. The movie begins on Jory's birthday. Yep, one of the orphans. Now, conflict is introduced, that's right, when Bart and Bertha...
Conflict rears his head in this drama.
Bart and Bertha are trying to run a scheme. They're related in some way to Jory and Tess.
Now, who plays Bart and Bertha?
That's Charles Fleischer and Lorraine Newman.
Oh, okay, great. So they're kind of wacky.
They are as wacky as... So they are played like as if the Disney Channel was trying to make a remake of the movie Blood Simple, but using the cast, crew, and production value and locations of Disney's Hey Dude television show.
Was Hey Dude a Disney show that was on Nickelodeon?
It was Nickelodeon. It doesn't. Okay. It all blends together now.
Stuart,
but maybe
I think
Disney was doing it.
That goes near to the top of my list of explanations that just made me more confused.
I mean, this is where you and I part ways, Dan, because it could not be clearer to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So Bart and Bertha are trying to run a scheme, you know, that's what they do, where they can find a way to adopt these two orphans because the orphans have trust funds and they're expecting some big inheritance. And while Boyd and Edna, that is the Callahans, they might lose their ranch if they can't make their monthly bank payment at the end of the month. Okay, so we have a ticking clock here.
Mm-hmm, sure. The orphans are being fostered, or these are their grandparents?
It's their grandparents.
Okay.
And they're somehow related to Bart and Bertha. I think they mentioned that they're cousins at one point, and then they give them $10 to leave.
And are Bart and Bertha Are they a couple? Are they married? Or are they?
I'm assuming they. There's a chance that they're like brother and sister or something. There's at no point do they express any kind of romantic interest in each other, so I don't know. But then they could also have been together for a long time, and after a while, you know, romantic interest can kind of like wane a little bit.
Oh yeah, those embers cool, but it's a different. Instead of the heat of passion, it's the warmth of affection.
Yeah, that like it's the warmth of like a homely hearth. Yeah.
A homely hearth
rather than like rather than a raging bonfire. Yeah, yeah, an unattractive hearth. Yeah,
okay. As opposed to one of those outside the home hearths that's just like tempting you. You know.
So let's introduce ourselves to the animals now. Their ranch is filled with all your typical farm animals. You have our hero is Rusty the dog. He's a little beagle. And he has he lives in the barn with his mother and father and their litter of puppies. There's chickens. There's these two turtles that I mentioned before. There's a pair of ducks who are always fighting over who gets to sit on an egg. And then your classic farm animal, an elephant.
Now, wait, hold on. Clarity for the egg thing. Are they fighting?
That's
the
what
fight,
you want clarity about, Dan?
Is the fight that they want to sit on the egg, or they're trying to get the other person to sit on the egg?
They each want to sit on the egg, okay. And to each of them, the egg is both a status symbol and it's a last final thing that they can grasp onto as some kind of connection to their,
right.
To maybe their form, because they're, I don't know.
Because this says something about, you know, my fitness to be a parent of any kind, but I would be arguing
or lack thereof.
To not sit on the egg. That would be my position. Like, please don't make me sit on the egg. There's feed and bread that I want to go eat elsewhere.
Well, I have two possible explanations for this. One, this is a classic King Solomon's duck scenario in which both ducks are claiming the same egg, and the only way to prove who's the real parent is to threaten to cut the egg in two and scramble that yolk. Number two, now I don't know if there are any specifically anal erogenous zones for a duck, but perhaps sitting on the egg provides a certain amount of pleasurable pressure in areas that ducks like to have touched. I don't know. I have not experimented that much with the backsides of ducks. Maybe in the future.
Now, stay tuned,
Stuart,
guys.
The part that Dan...
That's covered in an article in Play Duck magazine, probably.
Well, of course. In duck world, it's just taken for granted that that's where you would... where you would be attracted. Yeah. Now, if I can ask the question that I thought Dan was going to ask, why do they have an elephant on their farm?
Okay.
It's never explained, although later on the elephant, Ellie, who can talk, plays baseball with the kids. So,
and who does the voice of the elephant?
Jane Singer, who also did the voice for Coo the Pigeon. No kidding. Okay. So, the only animals, once again, I mentioned the animals talk. All of them talk except
Jane Singer, it appears, is mostly a voice actor, a number of different video games on her IMDb. Right.
I will say, if you know, aficionados of animal voiceover, if you were wondering whether Frank Welker is in this movie, he is in this movie as Boss Duck.
Oh, good.
Oh, he's the Boss Duck. Okay.
So this is a Frank Welker joint.
Something I want to point out about Jane Singer's IMDb is that her most recent credit is from a video game cartoon called Marvel Superhero Adventures Frostfight, in which she voices Mrs. Claus. Now, as far as I knew, Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus were not officially part of the Marvel Universe canon, but apparently they are here. So I guess look forward to a new Santa Claus comic from Marvel.
Dan, do you have any opinions on whether or not Santa Claus is part of the Marvel Universe?
Well, I do think that, I believe that I've seen him in Marvel comics before.
Usually though, it's like the Rhino dressed up for a heist.
I don't know whether these
are mastermind,
like, what if stories or like outside of canon or whatever, but I'm pretty sure I've seen at least a story where some hero helps save Christmas, and that involves
that
Santa Claus.
It would be great if there was a what if issue that was what if Santa Claus was real, and the Watcher just opens it up and is like, look, everybody, sometimes I get lazy. Because Santa Claus, I'll just say, Santa Claus does have amazing powers. He can squeeze through any small opening. He can travel at close to light speed. He's like the Silver Surfer that way, because he goes around the whole Earth delivering presents in one day. And he's an anti-Semite, which is a powerful power.
He dislikes all non-Christians.
I shouldn't have just singled out Jewish people.
All right.
Now, if you were wondering, yes, this movie is absolutely brick-walled with constant singing, scat, goofy music, farts, etc. If you are ever bored for a moment, you will not be bored in a second later, because there will be a new song or a new person talking as an animal.
Now, I'm just going to say, with that many animals on set, I would expect a lot of scat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after a perfunctory birthday party, the kids go to the fair, where Bart and Bertha are dressed as clowns, and they attempt a minor crime of taking a wallet they just find. And that crime is foiled by Rusty, and that causes mild havoc at the fair. And Bart and Bertha lose their job, putting them in a kind of desperate position where they don't have enough money to buy lunch. So, of course, they come up with a new scheme where they are approached by a wealthy man, and they decide they're going to steal some puppies to sell. Now, while the kids are playing baseball with the elephant, Bart and Bertha then sneak onto the ranch and steal the puppies in order to cut off the old people's source of income.
Oh, no. Wait, guys, I want to issue a late correction for something I said earlier. I got Charles Fleischer, the voice of Roger Rabbit, mixed up with John Cassier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. I credited him as the Crypt Keeper earlier. That I just got them mixed up.
Yeah.
So everybody, if you were writing your angry letters, find something else to write it about.
But I've also made this
organizing some
before,
like pun based correction.
And I don't know
why for some reason they're associated. I mean, it's similar. The voices are a little similar in some ways. But and Charles Fleischer was in an episode of Tales from the Crypt and one of the movies. But not
maybe
as
that's where the confusion comes from.
But so okay, so Stuart. Long story short, everyone's in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they steal these puppies. They of course take the littlest puppy and just leave it in the middle of a field to die. It's very strange. Rusty then goes on a quest to save his brothers and sisters. Along the way, he meets some new animal friends. He saves his little sister from an alligator. He has a dream journey where he remembers his life from birth up through the events of the movie. He drinks some cow's milk. He hitches a ride from a cool, beheaded skateboarding dog named Rebel before eventually just going home to get reinforcements. Any questions up to this point?
Wait, so, okay.
I think that was a pretty... I mean, you painted a real word picture for us, yeah.
Now, I mean, the basics of this movie are still... confusing to me, mostly because a combination of constant derailing by both of us and just my general lack of comprehension of things. Now, Bart and Bertha, they're animals.
No, yes. They're human
Dan.
Beings.
No,
they're human
Dan.
Beings.
Dan. So
they're sort of the Cruella de Vil of the film?
I would describe them as desperate schemers.
Okay. And so the major...
And perhaps desperate dreamers.
The major conflict is that the people who own the puppy farm are having their puppies stolen by these schemers because the schemers don't have money. Is that what's happening?
And the old people don't have money either. It's a because they're about to lose their puppy farm.
So Rusty, was he stolen and he's coming back like an incredible journey?
No, Rusty is trying to rescue the puppies all on his own initially, and then he realizes, you know, he is only as strong, a single fist isn't strong enough, but many fists raised in anger, now that can do it. So he gets all the animals together to save the puppies.
Remind me to talk to you guys about the director of this movie, according to IMDb, Shuki Levy, who is mostly a composer and composed, among other things, the theme songs for Inspector Gadget, He-Man, the 90s X-Men animated series, lots of things, and was a very, very big part of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, because this is Saban Entertainment.
Oh, okay. So he was a big Saban Entertainment guy.
Yeah. So all the animals go to save the puppies. Now, at this point, you're probably saying, there's a lot of animal action. What are the humans up to? And I'm going to tell you, not much. The kids are occasionally like talking about how they like, why do Bart and Bertha want them to be adopted? What's what it's like to be an orphan, etc. Like, why are animals great? So Bart and Bertha leave their very overly decorated shack to sell one of the puppies. Mm-hmm. The animals arrive and the elephant destroys their home. Bart and Bertha are on the run from the last pup, and all the animals team up using their unique talents, whether it's being scary looking or being able to shit on a van and upend it and have it drive fall down a cliff.
I mean, animal would have? Like, I don't feel like that's a specialized ability to shit on.
I think it's a targeting ability.
Okay, I mean, Stuart, I could shit on a van if that's what you need.
Yeah. I think it's time for you to put some money where your mouth is.
Picture it didn't happen, Dan. I'm gonna need pictures or video of this.
Yeah.
So which.
That's what your TikTok account is all based on, right? When you realize you couldn't do those synchronized dances, you're just taking shit.
Yeah, but set to huge hit tunes. Yeah.
All right. No one wants to hear this.
But Stuart, whose power is whose? Which animals have different talents?
Well,
what do the turtles do?
The turtles mainly spend the movie trying to travel from one area to the next area. But the action passes them by, and then they have to turn around and make it, slowly. Yeah.
Okay. What about so what's the elephant's talent? Is that the shitting one?
Well, no. The elephant destroys their home and then chases their VW bus or VW van around. The raccoon jumps onto Ratchet. The raccoon jumps and scares them. The snake, whose name I forget, who is constantly talking about wanting to bite humans. It's an albino boa constrictor, dude. It's a beautiful creature.
And that's not even a biting snake, though. That's a constrictor.
No, I mean, they bite. Yeah, it's not a venomous snake. But, I mean, it bites at some point. It has to latch on before wrapping its coils around you.
I mean, maybe love bites. Maybe, like, in the throes of passion.
Yep. So, of course, at this point, the animals team up. They destroy the Bart and Bertha's last remaining possession, their van. And they save the little puppy. Bart and Bertha go to jail. The puppy gets sold. Everybody's happy. The end. So, guys, here's the all-important question. You have to decide... Are you glad we missed it? Sad we missed it? Or what was the third one?
Or had to unmiss it.
Yeah, had to unmiss it.
Gotta unmiss it. Are you sad to miss it? Glad you missed it? Or gotta unmiss it? So, Stu, I have a question for you.
I think that fits more into our sort of vibe as a podcast, Elliot. lack of consistency.
Now, Stuart, are there any sequences or scenes that really stick out to you as being particularly memorable? Because I feel like any movie, no matter how great, could be described in a way where you don't want to see it. Like, for instance, a movie like what's the greatest movie you can think of? The Abyss. Exactly. The Abyss.
Yeah, it's like,
they're underwater and there's like a big water snake and it has a face at the end of it and everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh, we're underwater. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Like, that doesn't make mm-hmm. me want to see The Abyss.
But, okay, so you're saying... You're giving me one final chance to kind of sell this movie to you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's play role play. We're in the video store. It's 1998. Okay. You are working at the video store, and the girl of your dreams, because you're a teenager, the girl of your dreams is going to give you a big kiss, a big smackaroonie mm-hmm. on the lips.
It's 1998, right? So that would be what, like Kathy Ireland or something?
Yeah. Kathy Ireland is going to give you a big smackaroonie if you can convince me to rent Rusty a Dog's Tale. You can't lie to me.
Okay.
You can't tell
Pressure's
me things
on.
That are not true about it. Yeah. So what's
Pressure's
the,
on.
What's...
Star of Necessary Roughness might give me a smoocheroonie. So let's see.
I mean, I don't know if I'd call it the Star of Necessary
Scott
Roughness.
Bakula is more of the...
Or Sinbad. Like, those are kind of the bigger marquee names of Necessary Roughness.
I don't know.
I mean, that football with the horns and the hat and the sunglasses
that's
is
not
kind
even
of the biggest
a character
star.
In the movie.
I mean, that's the most disappointing thing about the movie is that that guy never shows up, which is too bad because he's got star part written all breakout character written all over him, like him and Spuds McKenzie.
You're certainly speaking to the person who was when I was a kid growing up. Every time I'd watch the Super Bowl, I was most excited for the animation of the Bud Bowl.
You know, between that movie and Major League, it was a real renaissance for sort of B minus level ragtag loser sports comedies.
I,
Did guys,
I feel
have you
like
heard of
Major
it?
League is at least one step above necessary.
No, I
roughness.
Know this. Yeah. Definitely. I was just
no, no. But I, thought,
I was averaging the scores out.
I thought you were saying Stewart. It was gonna. I thought you were saying it was a golden time for sports ball related mascots that aren't actually in the movie, because Major League has that baseball with the sunglasses and the mohawk, right?
Wait, he wasn't in the movie?
Not
oh,
in the movie.
Oh, that was Charlie Sheen.
He's sort of a Charlie Sheen avatar, that ball. But
now, not the same, Dan. That poster promised me a talking baseball that was super cool and had rad attitude.
Yeah, you're hoping that when Charlie Sheen got up on the mound to pitch, that like the ball would appear over his shoulder like his persona or his stand or something.
Yeah, exactly. And or like it would be on his shoulder like a little helper that's like, yeah, throw a fastball now, Chaz. But why wasn't there a hockey movie where there's like a puck that had like a Hawaiian shirt and like a puka shell necklace? Why wasn't there a basketball movie?
I mean, that's because Slapshot had already been made, right?
Yeah, right. And you can't do another hockey movie. Mighty Ducks D2, D3, Stuart. You're roasted. So what about one where it's
Goon
like,
or the sequel?
Yeah, it's like, Slapshot 2, slapping it. Or what if there was one where there was like a golf ball with like bifocals and dentures, or one where there's like a basketball and the basketball has like a pith helmet and also a welder's mask because it doesn't really know what its thing is yet.
Yeah. No, I like it.
It's also very hard to tell it's a basketball behind that welder's mask. So, okay. Kathy Ireland, she's like,
sure,
Stu.
Yeah, like, back Stu, in the video store. Okay.
I want to kiss you, but I can only do it if you can convince this guy to rent Rusty a dog's tail. What part of the movie do you tell me about that really like brings it home?
My magnetized name tag is slightly askew. My family video polo just doesn't fit right. and my pitch is this. There is a scene in the movie where Bert is talking to a guy in a white suit and a white, like, Panama jack hat, and the man's explaining how he would like to buy a puppy, and Charles
Interest
Fleischer
rising.
Looks at him. Yep, Charles Fleischer, a.k.a. Bert, looks him dead in the eye, and he goes, "Puppies? Like baby dogs?" And the man says, "Yes, like baby dogs." At that point, that's when you know it's the right movie for you.
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh, no.
It's a funny joke. I mean, like, I don't know if that alone sells it to me.
No,
here's a question.
I think it's 1998, right? My hand is reaching towards that copy of Lawnmower Man. But Dan, what
you're
are you
not
going to
be disappointed? My question
well, I mean,
is,
my expectations are very low.
My question is, how does the cast acquit itself? Because, you know, it's a galaxy of stars, as you said. And I say that only semi-ironically, because while none of these are huge names, let's say, I look down the list and there's no one I am unhappy to see. Like, the closest it comes to that is I have no particular feelings about Patrick Duffy one way or another. But how does the cast acquit itself in this film?
I mean, yeah, I want to. And after you answer that, Stuart, I have a rebuttal to something that Dan just said.
Okay, is it Patrick Duffy related?
No, it is. It's saying that there are no big stars in the cast. Cast that includes Rue McClanahan, a golden girl.
Okay,
but Stuart, continue.
So I was going to say all the human actors do a very good job, but I would say some of the animal actors leave a little bit to be desired. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, Rusty the dog. However, I would take a bullet for Rebel the dog who wears a hat and rides around on a skateboard.
Wait, who did the Rusty voice? Is it just
Matthew
a dog?
Lawrence, it says.
Matthew Lawrence, who's that?
That
I don't know.
Is
a
the
man?
Youngest. Oh, he's the middle brother of Joey Lawrence. So Joey Lawrence is the oldest.
Okay.
Matthew Lawrence is the middle.
Was in Mrs. Doubtfire, it looks like.
He was on Boy Meets World, played the part of Billy in The Hot Chick.
Was, of course,
in the show Brotherly Love, because that was the show with all the Lawrence brothers.
Yeah, all right.
So you guys have asked me a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, are you glad we missed it, sad we missed it, or...
Oh, boy.
Had to not miss it. I'm watching it now.
You know... I'm going to say I can't go so far as to say that I'm going to go run out and watch Rusty a Dog's Tale now. But I will say that you had a lot more joy and verve recounting this to me than I feel from a lot of Flophouse movies that we watch. So I'm going to say that I'm sorry. I'm sad we missed it. I guess that's correct.
We got a sad we miss it. Elliot.
I'm going to say, to be honest, a glad we missed it, but because it's not like I regret not watching it, and I don't have to watch it. I'm not going to go watch it. I don't have to unmiss it.
I don't know. But you have kids, and they probably like looking at animals do stuff.
They do like looking at animals. I mean, we did recently watch Babe with my two children, and the younger one especially just liked pointing out which animals were on screen as they appeared on screen. Just going, horse, pig, sheep, horse,
that child dog. Would have a field day with Rusty colon, a dog's tail.
I can also get the same effect from just looking at a book of animal pictures with him is the thing. Mm-hmm. So,
do those pictures sing, Elliot?
No, that's a good point. I think, Stuart, I think I'm so glad that you told us about this movie. I appreciate your watching it. I think I enjoyed hearing about it more than I would watching it. So I'm going to have to tell you, I'm sorry, but you will not be receiving the kiss from Kathy Ireland this time.
Oh, no. Okay. This has been the Flophouse Presents Missed That Movie. I have been Stuart Wellington.
I've been Dan McCoy.
I'm Elliot Kalin. I can't wait till the next Stuart Report. Dan, are you going to take on any Miss That Movie reports at some point?
Yeah, Dan has to do the next one.
I, you know what, Stuart? You know, I don't know whether we're off air or still being taped or broadcast out to the world, but I love this new format. I would have so much fun doing a report for you two.
Yeah. That's the plan.
Hey, Jordan, can you cut that moment of genuine joy from Dan?
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a brand new podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
MaxFun is running a survey to help figure out what advertisers might be a good fit for the show's audiences. We are still primarily audience supported, which will always be the case, but advertising is a helpful source of income to both our podcast and the network as a whole, especially now in a more uncertain time. And the results of the survey will help us talk to new advertisers, convince them, hey, maybe you want to put your ads on MaxFun shows. It's a short survey. It shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. And you will get a discount at the MaxFun store if you fill it out, in addition to our gratitude. So you can go to MaximumFun.org/ad survey, all one word, ad survey, to fill that out.